This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to mediate disputes involving intellectual property or creative ownership. A practitioner's guide to resolving creative disputes before they destroy trust. In short, creative ownership disputes are among the hardest conflicts to mediate. Because the work feels personal, mediating them well requires private preparation, strict neutrality, and an agreement that names every contribution specifically. Meet each party alone before any joint session to understand their position and their underlying need. Stay out of judgments about whose contribution mattered more. Document the agreement in writing before the session ends. Definition: intellectual property mediation is a structured conflict resolution process in which a neutral third party helps individuals or teams resolve disputes over creative ownership, attribution, or the rights to jointly produced work, without imposing a binding legal judgment on either party. Why creative ownership disputes are a different kind of hard. A designer and a copywriter spent 8 months building a brand together. When the client awarded a major contract based on that brand, the copywriter's name was missing from every document. By the time I was brought in to help, neither person could be in the same room without the temperature dropping 10 degrees. The dispute was not really about credit on a contract. It was about whether 8 months of someone's creative life had been seen at all. That is the particular difficulty of intellectual property mediation. When people dispute ownership of creative work, they are not arguing about an asset the way two people might argue about a budget line. They are arguing about identity. A piece of writing, a design, a concept, a piece of code someone poured themselves into, these things carry a person's sense of worth. When that ownership is questioned or taken, the emotional response is proportional to that weight, not the commercial value of the work. This is why standard dispute resolution techniques often fail here. You cannot simply present both sides and split the difference. You cannot suggest that everyone contributed and expect that to satisfy anyone. The person who believes their creative contribution has been erased will not be comforted by vague acknowledgement. You need a clear process, the courage to hold both parties to it, and the patience to work through the layers before you reach anything that can be resolved. Understanding how unmet needs drive conflict is essential preparation before you walk into a creative ownership dispute. The surface argument is about attribution or rights. The root cause is almost always about recognition, respect, and feeling that the work mattered. What needs to be true before you mediate? You cannot mediate a dispute you are not genuinely neutral in. This sounds obvious, but I have watched people attempt to facilitate creative ownership conversations when they had already formed a private opinion about who was right. That opinion shows. It shows in which questions you ask, in how long you let each party speak, in which statements you reflect back. If you cannot hold honest neutrality, hand the mediation to someone else. The second precondition is consent. Both parties must agree to the process before it begins. Mediation that someone is coerced into produces resentment, not resolution. A brief, direct conversation with each person separately, explaining the process and confirming they are willing to engage, is not optional. Third, you need enough time. Creative ownership disputes rarely resolve in a 30-minute conversation. Plan for at least one private session with each party and one joint session. Two joint sessions is often wiser. Rushing this process to save calendar time is one of the most reliable ways to produce an agreement that collapses within a week. The six-step process for mediating IP and creative ownership disputes. Step 1. Conduct private pre-sessions with each party. Meet each person individually before any joint conversation. Your goal in these sessions is not to gather evidence or decide who is right. Your goal is to understand three things: what each person believes they contributed, what outcome they are hoping for, and what is driving the emotion underneath their position. Ask open questions and stay silent long enough to hear the full answer. Tell me what you built here, and what that work meant to you is a better question than what do you think you deserve credit for. The first question invites story. The second invites argument. Take notes, but keep them private. Summarize back what you hear to confirm you have understood. This pre-session work is where your credibility as a mediator is built. If a person feels genuinely heard before the joint session begins, they arrive with slightly less armor on. Step 2. Set the ground rules before the first joint session. At the start of the first joint meeting, set clear expectations. Tell both parties the ground rules in plain language. One person speaks at a time, no interrupting, no personal attacks, and the goal of the session is understanding, not winning. Script this moment precisely. I typically say something like, "We are here to understand each other's perspective and find a way forward that both of you can respect. I will not be deciding who's right. That is not my role. My role is to make sure both of you are heard and that we end this with something in writing that you both agree to. State explicitly that you will remain neutral throughout. This signals to both parties what kind of process they are in, and it holds you accountable to that standard throughout the session. Step 3. Give each party uninterrupted time to speak. Invite each person to describe, without interruption, what they contributed to the work and why this dispute matters to them. Set a clear time limit, something between 5 and 8 minutes each, and enforce it consistently for both parties. While the first person speaks, your job is to listen for the need underneath the position. A person who says I created the entire visual identity may be saying my expertise was invisible. A person who says the concept was mine from the start may be saying I have never been given credit for originating ideas. After each person speaks, reflect back what you heard, including the emotional layer. You are saying that you were the primary architect of the visual direction, and that not being named in the final documents felt like that contribution was erased. Is that right? This kind of reflection, applied to both people equally, is the core of resolving interpersonal tension through empathy. Step 4. Find the specific points of agreement and disagreement. After both parties have spoken, map the territory together. Write down, visibly if possible, the points both people agree on and the points they disagree on. In creative ownership disputes, you will often find more agreement than either party expected. Most people agree on the general sequence of events, even if they disagree on who drove each stage. Most people agree on the other person's involvement, even if they dispute its significance. Starting with the agreed territory builds a foundation that makes the disputed territory easier to address. Be specific. Both of you agree that the original concept was discussed in the March meeting is more useful than both of you agree you worked together. Precision matters here, because vague agreements produce vague outcomes that neither party feels committed to. Step 5. Use a caucus when the session reaches a wall. There will be a moment in most intellectual property mediation sessions when the conversation stops moving. One party repeats the same position for the third time. The other crosses their arms and goes quiet. This is the point where many mediators push harder for agreement. That is the wrong move. Instead, call a short break and speak to each person privately for 5 to 10 minutes. A caucus, a brief private conversation mid-mediation, lets you ask questions you cannot ask in front of the other party. What would it take for you to feel this was fair, even if the other person's contribution is also acknowledged? Is a question people answer honestly when they are not performing for an audience. This is also where you can reality test positions. If someone's expectation is unrealistic, the private session is where you can say, gently and directly, I want to make sure you understand what an agreement could actually look like here without embarrassing them in front of the other person. Step 6. Build and document a specific written agreement. Every creative ownership mediation must end with a written document that both parties sign before they leave the room. Not a promise to follow up. Not a handshake understanding. A written agreement. The document should name specific contributions clearly, state how attribution will be credited going forward, and address any future uses of the work. Vague language produces new disputes. Both parties contributed equally is not an agreement. The visual identity system will be attributed to name A and name B in all client-facing materials, with name A listed first in design contexts and name B listed first in strategy contexts is an agreement. Ask both parties to read the document aloud before signing. This surfaces any misunderstanding before the session ends. It also gives both people the experience of saying the terms out loud, which builds commitment to what they have agreed. For additional structure on building durable outcomes from difficult conversations, the DEAL method for resolving workplace tension offers a complementary framework worth having in your toolkit. Mediating remotely when creative teams are not in the same room. Remote intellectual property mediation is harder, and not just because of the technology. The body language cues you rely on in a room, the shift in posture when someone shuts down, the moment when two people accidentally make eye contact and something softens, all of that is reduced to a small rectangle on a screen. For remote sessions, keep the group smaller. Two parties and one mediator is the maximum for a video call. Bring in a third person only if genuinely necessary. Extend your pre-session preparation because you will have less real-time information to work with during the joint session. Use the private caucus more frequently in remote settings. A short one-to-one call with each party between joint sessions gives you the temperature of the room that you cannot read from a shared screen. And send the draft written agreement by document share during the session itself so both parties can read and suggest edits in real time, rather than waiting for a follow-up email that may never feel final. If the dispute involves ongoing collaboration, also consider what structures will prevent the same conflict recurring. The deal method for team synergy conflicts is particularly useful for teams who need a shared language for handling disagreements before they escalate into formal disputes. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where mediators go wrong in creative disputes. After decades of working through conflicts like these, I have made most of these mistakes myself. Here is where I see people go wrong, and how to correct each one. The mistake: skipping the private pre-session to save time. Why it happens: mediators underestimate how much information they are missing before the joint session begins. What to do instead? Always hold individual pre-sessions, even if they are only 20 minutes each. The joint session will move faster and more productively because of them. The mistake: letting one party dominate the speaking time. Why it happens: one person is more vocal or more distressed, and the mediator hesitates to interrupt. What to do instead? Set and enforce equal time limits from the start. I want to make sure we hear from both of you equally is not rude. It is fair, and both parties will respect it. The mistake: evaluating whose creative contribution was more significant. Why it happens: the mediator has an opinion and believes sharing it will help move things along. What to do instead? Stay completely out of that judgment. Your role is not to rank contributions. The moment you do, you lose the trust of the person you ranked lower, and the mediation is over. The mistake: accepting verbal agreement without documentation. Why it happens: the session ended on a positive note and documentation feels unnecessary in the moment. What to do instead? Always produce a written document before the session ends. Memories of verbal agreements diverge within 48 hours. Paper does not. For guidance on what to do after the session, particularly when trust has already been damaged by unresolved history, rebuilding trust after damaged working relationships is worth reading before you close the process. Your pre-mediation readiness checklist. Use this before every creative ownership or intellectual property mediation session. Before the session: number 1. Have I confirmed genuine consent from both parties to participate in the process? Number 2. Have I held a private pre-session with each party and taken notes on their position, their underlying need, and their hoped for outcome? Number 3. Am I genuinely neutral in this dispute? If not, have I handed it to someone else? Number 4. Have I scheduled enough time, at least one private session per party and one joint session, at the start of the joint session? Number 1. Have I stated the ground rules clearly, including no interruptions, equal time, and my neutral role? Number 2. Have I told both parties the goal is a written agreement before we finish during the session? Number 1. Am I reflecting back both parties' positions with equal care? Number 2. Have I mapped their agreed territory before moving into disputed territory? Number 3. Have I used a private caucus if the conversation has stopped moving before closing? Number 1. Does the written agreement name specific contributions and specific attribution going forward? Number 2. Have both parties read the agreement aloud and confirms they accept it? Number 3. Have both parties signed the document in the session? For situations where tension surfaces unexpectedly during a grouped setting, handling conflict during meetings and staying grounded during tense workplace conversations are practical companions to this process. When you reach the other side, here is the truth of it: intellectual property mediation done well does not just resolve a dispute. It tells both people that their work was real, that it mattered, and that someone took the time to make sure it was seen properly. That is not a small thing. I have watched working relationships recover from genuine bitterness because one mediation session gave both people a fair hearing and a clear document they both believed in. The process is not complicated. 6 steps, honest preparation, strict neutrality, and a written agreement before anyone leaves the room. The courage it takes is not in the technique. It is in staying neutral when you have an opinion, staying patient when the conversation goes in circles, and staying present when the emotion in the room makes it easier to wrap up quickly and walk away. Intellectual property mediation is a skill you build through practice, not through instinct. Every session teaches you something the last one did not. Keep the checklist, use the pre-sessions, document everything, and you will earn the trust of everyone in that room, including the ones who arrived certain no resolution was possible. Frequently asked questions. What is intellectual property mediation? Intellectual property mediation is a structured process where a neutral third party helps people in a creative ownership dispute reach a mutually acceptable resolution. It differs from legal arbitration because the mediator does not impose a decision. The goal is a durable agreement that preserves the working relationship. How do you start mediating a creative ownership dispute? Start by meeting each party separately before any joint session. Understand what they believe they contributed and why it matters to them personally. This preparation prevents the first joint meeting from becoming an ambush and gives you a context to guide a productive conversation. When does intellectual property mediation fail? Mediation fails most often when one party has already decided to win rather than resolve the dispute. It also fails when the mediator takes sides, skips the private pre-session, or pushes for agreement before both parties feel genuinely heard. Premature resolution breeds resentment, not settlement. Can mediation skills work for creative teams who share ownership? Yes, joint authorship and co-creation disputes are well suited to mediation because the underlying issue is nearly always about recognition and respect, not just legal entitlement. A skilled mediator can help both parties articulate what they need and design an attribution agreement that reflects the full picture. What should a mediator never do in an IP dispute? A mediator should never evaluate whose creative contribution was more valuable. The moment you rank contributions, you become a judge, not a mediator. Your role is to help both parties understand each other and reach their own agreement. Stay neutral, even when one party's position seems obviously more reasonable. How long does mediating a creative ownership dispute take? Most straightforward creative ownership disputes can be resolved in 1 to 3 structured sessions of 60 to 90 minutes each. Complex disputes involving multiple contributors, commercial value, or long histories of unresolved tension may require more sessions, but the process outlined here covers the essentials for most workplace situations. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.